So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all our fans excited, and our sponsors. Good. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Talkin' Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
Shooting, and there's a throwaway.
Oh,
Morris into the crowd, spilled the beer. And will they cross the line? They do. Morris is dripping with beer. Paxton, Steyer, some Schlitz maybe, who knows? He's just soaked in beer in the pour, and it's in the guy's hair. It's in the guy's hair. Your Bledsoe with a three. No. Beer is every place. Some of Milwaukee's, the Miller highlight, spilled on the floor.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Talkin' Sports number 304. Rob's over there.
Hey.
Matt over here. That, of course, our friend Kevin Garland.
Harlan.
That's right. Kevin Harlan.
The overly descriptive Kevin Harlan.
If you people recall, longtime listeners, we had a clip of his probably about this time last year.
The guy is drunk.
Yeah. Exactly. From a football game. So actually, it would have been earlier or later than what I just suggested. But that from a Celtics and Bucks game not too long ago, where a poor beer did not survive the action. That was a terrible crack you had over there, man.
Yeah, and it spilled. I was waiting
for me to shut up.
I was tentatively giving it, lifting the tab. Do I do it now? What about now? Ah, fuck it. Sorry, man.
And then just disappointment.
Flaccid.
Yeah.
Come on, why won't you work? Slap, slap, slap.
It's here in the dark. Yeah. It's always fucking.
Yeah. Slap, slap. Come on.
You can give us a follow on Twitter for more great stuff like that, at Talkin' Audio, facebook.com/Talkin' Audio, and we're on the Instagram.
Perhaps a pity follow.
That'd be great. Any kind of follow.
Yeah, this is it. We don't care.
At Talkin' Audio also over there on Instagram. We've been getting some fun comments and stuff, throwing up little bits of the show on the Instagram page. Little. Yeah, for more of that, you can check out our Patreon feed. Although not if you got a weak stomach this week, I would probably steer clear.
Who, honestly, that to me is the thing that makes you say, oh, you should turn away. Nobody's turning away.
No one ever turns away. This is going to be terrible, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, putting my fingers over my eyes and spreading one slightly. Yeah, nobody turns away.
I think you've been fucking victimized here as a Sens fan for too long, if that's here.
Yeah.
Bending over.
Like, and yeah, Clockwork Orange. I'm going to keep my eyes wide open, toothpicks in it. You can't avoid this.
It's true.
You're going to see this. Oh. If you don't like to see bones broken, don't watch. Oh, yeah? I'd love to see femurs snapped.
The femur's the longest bone in your body, baby, but it doesn't have to be. An all-time favorite.
Yeah.
It's alive.
Yeah, honest to God. If you
but it
got,
don't if, gotta be.
The only problem is, yes, I got an erection that's longer than a femur, but I
seek
pass
medical
out.
Attention.
But I pass out every time it gets hard or close.
It's true, man.
Oh my God, there's so much blood rushing to my boner.
It's just a fun word.
Boner? For yeah. Sure it is. Nobody says it routinely past the age of 8.
Yeah, you got to bring it back.
That and douchebag.
That's never gone away, I don't think.
You're such a douche.
Love it. Been a week or two, man. What's going on? How are things?
I was laid low by a terrible bladder infection.
Jesus. Uh-huh.
Not really, but... Yeah.
Kind of seems like it sometimes.
Yeah. There's this pussy.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. I'm good, man. Yeah. I've just been busy, you know.
Yeah.
Livin.
Yeah. All right.
What about you? You've been holding the fort here in my absence.
Yeah, we did all right. We had our pal David Foote down in Belleville come on episode 303, Footy Pajamas, I believe is what we titled the show.
And I see he's everywhere. I see him on local Ottawa radio now.
Well, I think we gave him the bump, right? He came on Talkin' Sports and all of a sudden everybody came calling.
Well, you know what? I've told you before, I'm almost positive of somebody in local radio who listens because...
Traded a couple of Facebook comments the other day with our friend AJ Jakubek, who is on the road again in Europe. He was over in Hungary and had to ask him how the NHL trade deadline coverage over there was and what the local sports radio folks thought of the Senators' sell-off. He said they seemed fairly indifferent, but he had the TSN app going while he was sitting at a bar in Budapest. So see, he was streaming the trade deadline
coverage. Well, see, we had this conversation when we talked about travel with the Jackie Bachelor.
Yes.
And... I still think, really, honestly, Budapest as a place that I've been to, top two in terms of good-looking women.
Okay.
So...
He should have put his phone streaming the trade deadline away and started circulating a little bit.
Out the local talent because, you know, wow.
But he could miss out on another Rudolph's Balsers. You don't know.
No, it's Levente Zuper. Is Hungary's pride and joy here.
The trade deadline.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. Hanging out with Levente Zuber. Why, sure, why not?
Hosting a panel over there.
Yeah. Hockey, well, come on, bring AJ in. He's your man multi-talents. Yes.
So he's been over there a while, circulating around.
3 weeks, I think he's spending.
Yeah, social media bouncing around there and all kinds of cool pictures and the different bars of Eastern Europe as he goes. So good for that guy.
Well, and again, having been in Eastern Europe, I've never been to a place where I haven't found an Irish pub. And I know he's a guy who he enjoys Newcastle.
Yeah.
Newcastle Brown. So
it's pretty universal, eh? The Irish pub goes over in any country.
Well, the Irish travel on their beer.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes, right? And wherever there's an Irishman, there's a pub.
Since we're sort of here anyway, if you want to get a full look at the NHL trade deadline, we did that on 303 with David Foote, but we will talk a little bit about the Senators here just because, of course, the world does not stop burning in Ottawa. There's been a couple of more news items.
It's like a Buffalo Tire fire, really.
That's true, man. We're going to get to a little bit of talk about the Islanders fans here in a little while. We got some baseball notes we want to touch on, but why don't we get to the Senators here? They, of course, have had their arena fall through again and have fired their coach after, you know, wholesaling their top line, basically, out to Columbus and Vegas. Take the floor, man.
Yeah, don't snap your radios off, good listener, right? I know everybody gets more
Was I too obvious there teeing up what was coming afterwards?
More than enough of your Ottawa slant, but it's so uniquely bad, right? The situation here. It smacks of a non-hockey market.
Yeah.
The shit that happens here. There's conventional wisdom. There's the things that an average to poor NHL team would do. And then there's the Ottawa route. Never the same, right? And you go, well, this is what somebody with half a fucking hockey IQ would do. Let's go that way. And it's not the good way, ladies and gentlemen. They don't knock it up a notch. It's down. You think, after trading Stone, and I know you did a good job on covering the trade deadline, so we're not going to go back into that too much.
Right.
It's to me, it's the uniquely poor way. Sorry for popping my peas in the radio way. The uniquely poor way that Ottawa has handled this. You have Dorion, who honestly, he needs to go to a Toastmaster session or take some PR lessons because he's fucking horrible. Horrible. And I get it, Pierre. If you are stuck up against it, you're doing shit that you don't believe in, say less.
Well, so
say less, not more.
So elaborate a little bit here because most people didn't catch his... You know, his interviews on local sports radio and...
Yeah, so he got up and he did his presser with the local media, which you're able to manage a bit more, right? You have your PR guy there who's saying, that's it, no more questions, whatever. You're able to cut that off and manage it a bit more. He did the good thing, in most cases, of coming on the afternoon drive show with Ian Mendez and Sean Simpson.
Yep.
Simmer is a former NHL exec with Washington and Toronto.
Yep.
In the assistant GM capacity, did a lot of scouting. Like him or love him, he's got a very strong hockey background.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think most people would suggest that Mendez is probably the closest to. I've had this debate a bunch of times, whether there's such a thing as sports journalism, but because it's sort of gossip, it's sort of entertainment, it's sort of whatever. But Mendez is as close to a straight shooter as this market has.
Yep.
In terms of host, so in terms of coming on the right show and whatever, Mendez is going to ask the right questions, and he's
Mendez is not going to do it in, as you are clearly suggesting, he's not going to do it in an E-talk,
right,
TMZ fashion.
Right.
He is going to try his best to be respectful.
Yep.
And
to both sides, to the fan base, to get what they want to know.
And ask, he will ask the question
that
the fans want to hear. He'll just do his best to frame it in a way that doesn't come across as douchebaggish. it was clear to see Dorion come unraveled in this 20-minute conversation where you now have somebody who's able to rebut or clarify what exactly it is you're saying, right?
When a
GM like Dorion stands up there and says, yeah, we've lost some players, but we have guys here who can still lead, right? There's your Zach Smiths and your J.G. Pageaus and your Mark Borowiecki's. And in print or from a podium where nobody can say, hey, Borowiecki's a 6 or 7 defenseman.
Yeah.
Zach Smith, you put on waivers at the beginning of the year. And Pageaux, Pageaux's a great guy, but he is on a cup-winning team. He's a great fourth-line center.
Right.
These are guys, and Simpson's saying, they're good guys and all. These are not – good teams do not have guys leading from the bottom of the lineup.
No.
That's just not how this goes.
Yeah.
You know, and Dorion saying things like, hey, you guys in the media – it's your responsibility to explain to the fans what a rebuild is.
Yeah.
You guys are running around setting fire to the city with your speculation and innuendo.
By pointing out what I'm doing.
Well, this is it. And the reality is, whatever anybody thinks of Ottawa as a hockey market, hey, in 92 when the Sens came here, well, this place was heavily populated with Habs and Leaf fans, the odd Bruin fan.
Thank God that's changed.
This is a hockey market. People know what a rebuild is.
Yes.
We don't need you fuckhead telling us what a rebuild is and how poorly you're doing it.
Yeah, clearly what he's saying there is it's your job to explain why we're right. You need to carry
spin,
water
baby,
for
spin.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah.
And fuck that.
And it ain't happening.
No.
Right?
It used to.
In that same interview, you had, when we were all riding the trains together, and you're saying...
Oh, I think even up to a certain point, it's good for TSN to be able to, as the only sports outlet here in town, and the Sens being the only really true top, sports property here in town, the CFL you and I both love, but it's not one of the top fours. It was beneficial for both sides to treat each other with a little respect, We'll keep coming on your shows if you aren't burying us. But it gets to a point where we can't carry your water anymore because you're so bad at this. It's destroying our credibility.
This is it.
And you've got more and more of these hosts and these writers and whatever saying, no, you're doing this poorly and I have to point it out.
Right. And in that same sit-down session, he said they asked about Guy Boucher as the coach. And he said, no, Guy's our coach. I know I've made life hard for Guy. Moving forward, but that's something we'll discuss in the spring, right?
Yes.
Who's our coach moving forward? Well, 3 days later,
you're fired.
You're fired, right? And you're saying, what?
Yeah.
You just said, right? And I get it. If you want to fire him last March, as shit's gone bad and it's followed the Tampa pattern and you've done all those things.
Pattern is hilarious. Like right down to his first year in Tampa, takes an unlikely team to the conference final. The next year, they miss the playoffs. The third year, he's fired. Exact same thing here. His first year in Ottawa takes an unlikely team to the conference finals. They miss the playoffs the next year. And the year after that, he's fired. Right down to the fucking...
And so you knew that. And the reality is your owner is cheap and doesn't want to pay a coach. So they didn't let him go. Instead, you put it through that whole dog and pony show.
Yeah.
Shoddy, shoddy amateur hour in the summer where you berate your coach about rest is a weapon and the excuses. You trot him through all that muck in the summer and then bring him back. Don't extend him.
No. Nope.
Let him live out his contract, knowing full well he's cooked at the end of the year. Then you say on Monday of this past
trade
week,
deadline day. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's our coach till the end of the year. Then we'll reevaluate. Then when you trade away your top three players,
yeah,
they're gone. Then you're going to say, I'm not happy with that effort. Yeah. Really? You expect that team
yeah
to beat anybody when you've removed your top five scorers from last year?
Number one center, Chris Tierney, not getting it done. I can't believe that's not working out. Like, give me a break.
Well, this is it. And you go, how can you call it as it is?
The most alarming quote to me, and I'm surprised you haven't brought it up, maybe it was down the list a bit for you, was for him to say that the day he traded Mark Stone was his proudest day as a GM. And I know what he's thinking. I got Eric Brandstrom, and that's a good return. Eric Brandstrom, by all regards, is going to be a very good NHL defenseman. But you can't publicly say that the day you've just traded your best player, your most popular player, the one that the fans most wanted locked up long term. You can't come out and say, yep, I shipped him out of town and I'm fucking proud of it. It's right. Not going to play, man.
Yeah. And I am underwhelmed completely. You know, I get it. And we'll see when it all comes down. And you and I exchanged emails and whatever else and looking at the Duchesne trade and looking at all those things and going, yeah, if you look at all these things in isolation, you go, all right, I get it. They weren't going to re-sign here. You got something for it. But why? Why is that the case?
Right.
And it used to be in the day, people weren't staying here because the money wasn't here, right? For whatever reason, incentives, bonus,
mm-hmm.
whatever, or just flat out annual average salary, you couldn't get it here because they were too cheap. By all understandings, that wasn't the case here.
Yeah, all three of those guys said we were offered contracts and decided.
Fair,
and even fair contracts, yes.
So in all three cases, people weren't not signing here. So
that's it's Ryan Dezingle, Matt Duchesne, Mark Stone, all dealt on the weekend leading up to the trade deadline or on trade deadline day. Yeah. All said offered fair contracts, wasn't interested.
Same with Carlson.
Yes.
Apparently, and he never even moved off that number or negotiated it because it wasn't a money issue. The issue is faith or belief in management's ability to run this situation. And that to me is the most damning thing. Money is there. I can get the money. I'm going to get the money here. But I don't believe in your ability to right this ship and have and create a stable environment to play hockey in. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
That is incredibly damning. And I'm not sure how long it takes to move off of that, because you can say, be patient, have faith. But the reality is we can't show faith until you have the opportunity to make good on your word, which is signing the Shabbats or the Kachucks long-term in a couple of years.
Yeah.
You're asking us on your shitty track record to have patience and faith. That we need to wait and wait for.
Yeah, you have not earned that fee.
You have not earned that.
Yeah.
And there's no reason any fan in their right mind will go forward with that. And he's saying, Pierre Dorion, is saying in that interview, when Mendez says, do you realize that there's a disconnect with the fan base? And he's saying, I don't get it. I don't understand what you're saying. I've never seen any disconnect.
Your building's half empty, man.
He's saying, I'm all over the city all the time. I'm in arenas. I'm out eating dinner. And only one lady at the Bell Senseplex yelled at me one time. And that's the
gauge. That's your barometer? People aren't being shitheads and coming up to you and interrupting your meals? And
so people are texting and saying, yeah, I am, as a grown man, I'm not going to yell at a stranger in public. That's just not my deal.
Yeah.
But he is saying, I'm a former season ticket holder. Look at your fucking building.
Yeah.
It's half empty.
Yep.
Those people have a disconnect with your franchise. That's what you need to understand. And it's, wow, I am still a Senators fan. I'm not going to change right now, but it is fucking scary. It's really there's a heavy wow factor.
Yeah, it's true, man. I Vegas, I want to touch on because I didn't get to very much on the trade deadline show. Just quickly, one thing, as they're making all those deals leading up to the expansion draft, and everyone's trying to keep their guys, we'll give you first not to take this guy, right? They spent both of those two bonus firsts that they got from the expansion draft and got Max Pacioretty with one of the guys they drafted.
Suzuki.
I think that was, yeah. And they drafted Brännström with the other and turned that into Mark Stone. That's some pretty fucking solid asset management.
Well,
and turned Mark Stone within a half hour into an 8-year extension.
Yeah. And so you had.
That's good fucking solid work by George McPhee.
You had three. Well, and George McPhee, the thing he said is, and it's one of those things where when somebody says to you, hey, Matt, have you lost weight?
No.
Okay. The first thing, I have, but. Are you suggesting I was super fat before or whatever? You're like, it's like the opposite,
yes.
is the thing people focus, yes, on. It, George McPhee signs Stone and he says, you don't get a chance to trade for Mark Stones. You draft those guys,
yeah,
and you keep them in your franchise. Yes. You don't ever get this opportunity.
Hey,
well, okay.
You're burying us over here.
But he's right.
Yeah.
He's right.
How about Mark Stone's first interview? I think it was with James Duthie on the TSN panel right after the deal. Because he said the thing that I was most excited about was their desire to win, commitment to winning.
Yeah, what he actually said was, they said, what was appealing about Vegas?
Yeah.
And he said, the arena atmosphere, the talent they put on the ice every game, and ownership's commitment to winning.
Which, again, I don't think he's intentionally trying to be a shithead to Eugene Melnyk.
Of course he's not,
because
Mark Stone is never going
to
do that.
Right. But it does point pretty strongly back to the ownership you just left.
That's what I'm saying. It's the unsaid thing is the said thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, of course. And that's what everybody's glommed onto here.
Yeah.
And God bless Mark Stone. Like, that is, he's now getting 9.5 for 8 years there.
Yep.
He's an avid, he's a scratch golfer. Well, guess what? Off days.
Yep.
I'm golfing. I'm hanging out. I'm loving Vegas. And right now, I don't know what Vegas is going to be like in the future, but
I'm seeing that Gwen Stefani residence
love
she's got
Gwen
going
Stefani.
On.
Yeah, man, for sure. Man.
I know that eventually.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of us.
I'm with him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't blame him. I don't blame him in the least, right? As a guy who's earned that right and has decided. And when he says, yeah, I put down roots in Ottawa. I love Ottawa. My heart is in Ottawa. And then you couple that with ownership's commitment to winning.
Yeah.
Hey, you wonder why Mark Stone's not here? It's not because he didn't love Ottawa. He didn't love the Senators logo. It has everything to do with faith in management, faith in ownership to right this ship in his fucking lifetime.
Right.
Ain't happening.
It's true, man.
And I'm angry about it.
How about Matt Duchene? Guys in Colorado, they implode. Gets traded to Ottawa, they implode. Gets traded to Columbus for them to take a run, and it looks
they have
like
slid right up. Hey, and again, I know you covered trade deadline.
Yeah,
but Jarmo Kekalainen.
Yeah.
There's a guy.
Look at the size of the sack on that man.
The huevos on that guy.
He has
huge
a third and a seventh round pick this year left.
Huge
that's
onions.
It.
He's just taking all
I
those
love
chips.
It. Love it.
And
I'm
pushed
going
it right
all
in the middle.
In. And well, it's not going well so far. Well, but
because Bobrovsky and Panarin have put him in a position where you
this
go.
This is my only.
This is it. We're not going to resign here.
Yeah. If I'm getting shit canned, I'm going down. It was a little like Anthopoulos with the Blue Jays. This isn't going well. I'm pushing it all in because the future isn't going to matter to me if we don't make it this
I'm
year.
Gone.
Yeah. So he trades for Dzingel. He trades for Duchene. Trades for Adam McQuaid, whatever.
The Leafs could have used him, according to Don Cherry.
Yeah. Holds on to Panarin, holds on to Bobrovsky, and we're riding this fucker either to glory or right into the ground.
Right into the ground.
But we're doing it. Right? I like that, man. I'm all in on that. Good for that guy.
Well, and really, and as you, and I've sort of buried your the Duchesne thing where you go, and I have no attachment to him.
No, I understand.
Right? Matt Duchesne, unbelievable hockey skill and a good interview.
Yeah.
Apparently. A good guy,
yeah.
But he wasn't here long enough. You know, he's just sort of, he's in, he's gone, and you go, fuck you, Dorian. You gave up all those. You gave up what's going to likely be Jack Hughes. Yeah. You just sort of go, but yeah, they Kekalainen and Columbus, you know, with their loss to.
Well, they've suffered a couple here.
Well,
yeah.
They just lost 4-0 last night to escapes
Edmonton.
Edmonton. Well, look at that.
Oh, no.
Yes. Honestly, there is.
And not just Edmonton. Edmonton playing their third in four nights.
There is the State of the Union right there.
For sure.
And so as somebody who has Columbus's first pick this year, you're like, okay, lottery? Can we get?
I think they were smart enough to lottery protect theirs.
Top three. Top three.
Still.
Yeah. At this point, any movement outside the top three, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good because we're getting number one. Which means Colorado's getting number one.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I am bullish on that. Bullish. And in a perfect world, Duchesne signs Bobrovsky. Holy Christ. Bobrovsky, Panarin, and Dzingel walk. That team sucks next year, but they have Duchesne.
And you get another pick.
And we get their first next year.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be super?
To go along with their second and their second and their second and their, honest to God.
I want to talk a little bit about what happened on Long Island on Thursday night. Before we do, would you like to hear what Sean Avery thought?
I'm you know what? Honestly, I'm glad you brought this up.
So you've heard it.
I have heard it.
Okay. We're going to let the good listener hear it.
Bring it on.
If you don't want to hear me talk about hockey, then hit mute. Fucking New York Islander fans. Calling John Tavares a snake, throwing snakes on the ice. Who the fuck are they kidding? That guy played 10 years in that fucking dump with those shitty fans, didn't say a word, was a great captain, never got arrested, didn't say fucking boo. You losers want to ruin his night coming back to play for you guys. What was he supposed to do, lie during the season? Or was he supposed to give the answer that all athletes give when they know they're not coming back to a team? You fucking greasy Islander fucks. You guys get out cheered in your own barn by Ranger fans every time the Rangers play the Islanders in Long Island. Fuck you.
You greasy Islander fucks.
When I first heard it, I wasn't sure where he was going to go with that. You greasy. I'm like, oh, easy, easy.
Sean Avery, not somebody we're going to spend a whole lot of time heaping praise upon.
Okay, but I love that he says he didn't get arrested.
Yeah, like that's the fucking low bar that you need to clear to be a good captain.
Like somehow you have won the Man of the Year award.
That's true.
You managed to not get arrested in your decade.
Didn't even get arrested, people. Like, what else could he have done? You know what? I have... And no problem with the booing. I don't really care about snakes being thrown on the ice. But the burned jerseys during the tailgate party seemed a little much. Some of the chants during the game, I know a lot of people were amused by, but...
I was totally amused by all of it.
Anyone, and I know this isn't you, anyone who's watched any wrestling in the last several years knows most of those were knockoffs. And they seem to come when you're no longer trying to do something. You're trying to be the game instead of the game, right? You want to be the center of attention here. The whole world's watching. And I had a nice debate that was ended sharply with an Islanders fan during that game when I said, well, enjoy the attention now because it's leaving when Toronto leaves. And that was basically the end of it because despite... the cries of loyalty and loving this team and being a passionate fan base, your first place in the division team has the lowest attendance in that division.
And the next game, they were 4,000 fans less.
Of course they were. So this was an event I would have booed to. Toronto fans still to this day boo Vince Carter when he comes back.
But I will take issue with the fact that it's got nothing to do with the Leafs. It has everything to do with Tavares.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, if Tavares was playing for Columbus and they roll back in, it's not a Leaf thing for me, and that's what I've glommed on to in what you said.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it wasn't like Ottawa full of Leaf fans cheering for the Leafs.
Right.
This place was full of people looking to jeer John Tavares.
Right. That's
or
true.
Or Tavares, whatever you want to go with.
And we've been back and forth on that a bunch of times. Yeah. As a Leafs guy, obviously you sort of take a little bit of – what were your thoughts on – maybe you didn't hear anything about it. On Saturday night – at home, Toronto had a nice welcome home, John, and you know, he was introduced last and the rest of his teammates peeled off the blue line while the spotlight hit him and stuff like that. To me, that was a little bit much, but I don't have the same problem with how many people were roasting. He's making $11 million a year. He's a grown man. He's fine. Okay, but you can still... I don't have a huge problem with showing a little love when he comes home, right? And remind him why he...
Yeah, he knows why.
Yeah.
And it's all the reasons he's left with. It doesn't change the fact that a place that... And again, I'm of two minds here, but it doesn't change the fact that a place that he gave, honestly, some of the best hockey years of his life to...
Gave a discount to on his last contract.
Has looked at him that way and has changed...
Yep.
100% how they feel about him. That's not going to ever change.
No.
He knows. And so
that was rough, no doubt.
Honestly, and you watch the post game, and I'm watching it live, where he's giving the interview in the hallway in the bowels of
Nassau.
And you hear somebody go,
"You suck,
Tavares! You suck!"
Yeah.
And you're like, how does that guy...
Yeah. What are you doing down here?
Well, where does he get in there? And the thing is, the first time I heard it, I'm like, dude, that guy just yelled, "Tavares, you suck." But I wasn't really sure because John sort of flinches a bit. Like the one eye kind of goes,
he's coming at me.
What is this? Like, what is this? And you're like, how does that guy get down there in this place where you'd think only the teams are and building staff? But
when there's another one later on, because they didn't stick with the extended press conference, but later on, there's another guy who walks by, "You suck, John." And he looks like he's probably a janitor who works in the arena, right?
Which is what I'm saying.
An usher or something. Casey Cizikas or former Islander.
This is it. Yeah. Well, and who knows, right? The reality is all the things like it's your bedtime.
Yeah, past your bedtime or whatever.
Or past your bedtime or where's your jammies.
Yeah.
All those sorts of – they really smacked of being – choreographed.
Rehearsed,
At certain points, I didn't know what they were saying.
Right.
Right? And so you're like, what?
There was a couple that were hard to tell. Sportsnet would play them back later, captioned, right? Or on the highlight show.
And so I'm not sure how anybody else is getting those, but it's so...
on the fucking big screen, maybe.
Yeah, well, this is it, right? Like, somebody's got placards or there's... Yeah. It to me was very, at certain points, smacked of being rehearsed. If I'm the Islanders... And their fans, I'm feeling totally emboldened by that, right? By the way that game went.
Oh, and the beatdown. That's twice they've crushed the Leafs this year.
And how the Leafs, honestly, the Leafs look like they packed their tents.
Yep. Well, the Leafs were right in it for probably 22, 24 minutes. Whenever they got the 2-2 goal called back.
Damn, the game was 60.
Oh, yeah. Whenever they got the 2-2.
Oh, yeah.
They tied it up at 2. It got called back on what was... The rule being the way it is, call it back. That's a shitty offside, whatever. And they just decided, okay, fuck this, and went home. And they got their teeth kicked in the rest of the night.
Right, and the inspiration for this conversation is the event, but it's also the Avery quote.
Yep.
And I agree with Avery, right?
Yeah, who are you?
Okay, but wait, in most of it, right, in terms of, you guys are... According to The Athletic, you're one of the top five worst fan bases, right, in terms of anonymous NHL.
Oh, fuck. You've read that.
Oh, I did read that.
That was going to be on the next show. It still might be. Stick around, folks.
Well, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
To me, it is interesting.
Okay.
I have The Athletic, and I read it regularly, so.
Well, I used to be able to grab material out of there that you hadn't seen.
Yeah. But the thing is, and the one part I take issue with in that is you contrast directly Mark Stone and John Tavares, right? They hung on hoping Tavares was going to sign. And it's his right to go anywhere else he wants.
Yep.
Totally get that. Totally get that. Mark Stone, they said to him, yeah, you know what? If we don't have you by now, we got to get rid of you.
That's the way it should have been.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Your beef should be with Islanders management. I get being pissed at John and you boo him when he comes back.
Yeah.
But this is years of piss poor management.
Right, right. This isolated incident, though, there's no suggesting anywhere that Tavares isn't going to say, yeah, he's now an Islander guy for life, right? We can count on John. We'll give him market value and he'll stay.
Right.
Right. I agree with you. The fans are left feeling like, and really a good dose of their venom should be directed at management.
You haven't found a building. You haven't found him line mates. You haven't found him a goalie. What the fuck?
For sure. But those you're asking those people. All they want is, to me, they want Tavares to say, yeah, I'm going to go back to Toronto, or I'm going to explore free agency. Right, I'm going to go to Toronto. That's my home.
Right,
and I don't blame them. If you can go back and win, I've said that the lure, the money's there. You can go to your hometown if you can bring a cup there after decades, half a century of waiting. You're fucking boss forever.
Yep.
So I don't blame Tavares. To me, it comes down to as a guy who is represented by Pat Brisson, same as Duchesne.
Yeah,
Duchesne, right up till fucking the day he was traded, kept saying the same things Tavares was saying. I'm still weighing my options. I'm still weighing.
What's he going to say?
I'm not going to fucking sign here. I'm not going to sign here.
And then what happens?
You get traded.
Then they boo him just the same. He's still just as big a villain. No, yes, of course he is.
He wouldn't sign
with us. Fuck him. He wasted all our time. All right. He's still getting roasted when he came back.
At the end of the day, yeah, but not the same.
Of course the same.
We got nothing.
We openly embarrassed the franchise.
We got nothing because you didn't fucking tell us you weren't coming back.
Right. So
Panarin's going to get booed. So look, he's not getting booed right now.
Okay.
And he said, I'm not coming back. But he will get booed when he leaves this summer.
Okay. So in this case, would you grant me that Pierre Dorion did a way better job than the Islanders management did and saying, if you won't commit to us, you're gone. We got to deal you.
Yes.
Okay.
I am in agreement with you. Islanders group also had the Stamkos thing to look at and go, yeah, Stamkos is a loyal guy.
Came out, looked around to see what he was going to get, and then came back and said, here's my number so I can stay here.
Did Toronto do a better job?
Apparently.
With Tavares or with Stamkos? And that's all I'm saying is I think the Islanders are like, yeah, come on. Like Stamkos, Tavares is a lifelong guy. He's going to stay here. He's got roots here.
Except Tampa was building a good organization and the Islanders were still shitty.
And they're virtually tax-free state, right?
Anybody dealing with the Islanders this year around trade deadline, around anything else, and I've heard this said a few different times and it's crossed my mind as well, I don't want to trade for your first round pick this year. I want your 2020 first round pick. And let's see how confident you are that this team is for real. Because they are not.
They are not a first
this.
One.
Yeah. They're not this.
No.
And next year, they'll be bounced hard back down the standings. And all the underlying numbers suggest that. Now, Robin Lehner has been fantastic. Do you know what PDO is?
Nope.
So, and I don't think most people do, and I barely do. But essentially, if you add your goaltending's save percentage and your team's shooting percentage. So the average team has roughly, you know, a 9-10, 9-15 save percentage.
Sure, and somewhere around a 12%.
10%. No, those are only your top guys. The average team shoots around 8 or 9%. Okay? So
the 10 is way off.
Hmm?
The 10 is way off, I said.
Of what?
I said 10 or 12%.
Yeah, sorry. All right. 12's too high for a team. That's for a star. Anyway. So you add those together, and the average PDO across the league is about 100. And essentially what you're measuring here is luck. When you look at a team who's got a 104 PDO, That means they're getting unreal goaltending and their shooting percentage is too high. And you go, uh-oh, right?
Yeah.
And if someone's got a PDO of 98, you go, oh, they'll probably bounce back here pretty soon. That's too low.
We'll see.
And you can sort of average these things. It's an interesting stat, and it's hard to pin down exactly because you're sort of measuring luck as much as anything else. But if you're way too lucky and the Islanders' PDO is just through the roof high, yeah. like, and that stuff is not sustainable. And it might be for a season, but I think they're fodder for whoever they're going to meet. There's a chance they're getting the Penguins in the first round. Like,
yeah, no, I agree with you. The one thing is, and again, it doesn't speak to long-term cup-winning success. What I look at is what
I've sort of ventured here.
What's that?
Yeah, I've sort of moved us away from the point, I suppose, here. But
okay, but anyways, all I'm saying with the Islanders, though, is when you have Lamoriello as GM, and to me the most key and crucial part of this is Barry Trotz being brought in. When you look at, and I have Leonard in my pool.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at saves per night. Man, they are down around, he's got 20 saves a night, mm-hmm. 21. So the structure that Trotz has brought, and yep. It doesn't discount your PDO.
But he's also at 9:30 or whatever on the...
Yeah, well, for a while, upwards of 9:40. I agree with you, right? And that is due for a correction.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, to me, I'm looking at those guys correcting down to a 3-4 spot in the division, probably due to structure, due to what Trotz brings.
Maybe.
And I look at what he did in Nashville, for all those years with not as good a defensive core as they have now, but it's still a very good one, right?
No, it's true.
With mediocre talent up front, I think what you look at in terms of what the Islanders have up front in terms of a couple of pieces that are much better than what they had in Nashville ever until now, right? But post-Trotz, I'm saying.
Half of them are leaving in the summer.
Martin Erat aside, you know, super stud.
Jordan Eberle's unrestricted. Anders Lee is unrestricted. Yeah.
And see that your captain, honestly, he's going to go. But Barzal and these sorts of things, right? You can sort of go, all
Leo Komarov.
Yeah, all right. Well, hey, man.
I'm just saying. I don't think these guys are real, man.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%, right? And just in terms of useful stats, and it's interesting. I honestly have never heard of PDO.
It's an interesting one. Keep an eye on it.
But Pierre Maguire was talking the other day about cup-winning teams and what you need in terms of specialty teams, right? The addition of your penalty kill.
Should also add up to 100.
This is it. And your power play, right? And in terms of two of those and your cup-winning teams averaging around 104 or the plus 100, right? In terms of you go, those are somebody
who's got an 85% PK and a 15 PP or whatever it might be, right?
Yeah.
It's usually closer to 89 or 80-20.
Well, 85 and a killer 20 power play in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
And you go 105, that cup-winning teams, right? Postseason is built on goaltending, specialty teams. Anyways, I know we've ranged way off the point, right?
Yeah.
But
it was a hell of an atmosphere. You grant them that.
Very much a playoff atmosphere.
Yeah. And, you know, the people who showed up that night were passionate, and good on you for that. I'll never understand you burning your own $200 jerseys, but that's your call to make.
It happens, though, all the time, right?
Yeah,
the little Ron James thing. Yeah, well, and it is what it is.
Yep.
I have no issue with any of that. I don't think anybody should be able to be in a position where I could hurl something.
I didn't like that.
And hit John Tavares. I don't think that should ever be.
Yeah, security came up and spoke to that guy. I'm sorry, that guy's gone.
Yeah.
You threw something at a player, you're done.
Yeah.
And now, for those who missed it, it was a jersey while he was leaving the ice for warm-up. Someone threw at him. So, was he hurt? No. But fuck you can't do that.
Well, because it's a jersey in this case. Is it a half-full beer next time? Is it a whatever it is?
Was the jersey on fire at the time?
Yeah. Is it smoking with cat shit? Like, I don't know. Like, what's happening?
Check us out, patreon.com/tallcanaudio for the good shit.
Those
or the gross shit.
Or the cat shit.
Yeah, whatever.
It's to me, yeah, that guy, you can't do that.
Right.
You can't do that. And you should never be able to chuck shit on the ice.
Right. No, it's true. And they were throwing down, for those, again, who missed it, fake snakes because he's a snake. John Tavares is a snake.
Yeah, clearly that guy's a snake.
He's a snake.
And so you think ripping on an 8-year-old is in good taste or poor taste, right? Pictures of
for
me.
For pajamas he wasn't wearing.
Yeah, yeah. And his bed sheets and whatever else.
Yeah.
If you think that's all right, well, then that's your deal too.
Sure.
But game day experience, you want to show up and you want to chant and you want to do whatever. all totally good. Do your thing.
Yeah. True enough, man. Just because I think it's interesting, and maybe you don't have a shot at this, but we'll try it anyway. Tavares got 3 points in this next game back in Toronto, in the safety and the loving embrace of the Air Canada Centre.
Just means you're fucked, you fragile whore, when you get on the road in Boston in the playoffs.
Could be. John Tavares and Mitch Marner are now both at over 70 points. This is the first time the Leafs have had 2 70-point getters since. I want the guys, not the year.
2 70-point guys in the same season?
Yeah. You'd think, like, this is a pretty low fucking bar.
Oh, honest to God, man.
Yeah.
And you go,
Well, because over the last couple of years, like, Nylander and Marner have both been at 69.
Yeah,
haven't gotten
there. Sure. Sundin and Hoagland.
Sundin is correct. Hoagland is not. Jonas.
Gary Roberts.
No.
I don't know.
Alex McGillney.
Alex McGillney. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's right on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. So, pretty low fucking...
Okay, you know what? And you've led me in a different direction when you see Ottawa last night playing Tampa.
Yeah.
And so Cooch already over 100 points.
Unreal, man.
And so Stamkos and
50 wins Tampa hits.
And Braden Point already over 70 points.
Yeah.
And so with an outside shot at three guys getting 100 points.
Yeah.
Now it's but now 20 games or 17 games left.
Right.
Not unreal that those two guys could get 20 points.
Sure.
Last team to have 3 100-point players on it.
Is it one of these stacked Red Wings teams?
I'm asking you.
No, I know.
It's not a Red Wings team.
Okay.
That's not where I went, actually, as a former Wings fan. That's not where I went.
Well, the late 90s, early 2000s, man, they were loaded for bear.
Yeah, probably 5 80-point guys.
Right.
95, 96.
Colorado?
Ooh, no.
And not Detroit?
Nope.
95, 96. Was it the Legion of Doom in Philly?
Nope.
Okay. You're right, this is good radio.
as guys working around.
Yeah.
See, for me, I got the team. I did not get the year.
Well, you've said 95, 96, right?
Right.
Okay.
I was thinking this same team, 91, 92.
Edmonton. Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh
it's
Penguins.
Pittsburgh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been one of Mario's last years.
Yeah, well, still last.
Yeah, before his
prolific
break.
Years.
Yeah. Ron Francis.
Ronnie Franchise.
And Jaromir Jagr.
And Lemieux, you got it.
Yeah.
That's it. So that was the last.
And they were fucking punted to the curb by the Florida Panthers and John Van Beesbrook.
That's how it happens, baby. Yeah. just like that.
By Stu Barnes.
Hey, and as we progress through here, you see, so Ovi now getting to 650 goals.
Yeah. It's pretty good, eh?
Three other guys, 650 or more with one team.
Oh, man. Gretz?
No,
I guess he got a bunch of those later on.
Now it's easy. Right from
Luke
there.
Robitaille?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
This is easy. Mario Lemieux?
Mario Lemieux. So two more. And if you're looking for a help, phone a friend. Me. Pick me. Pick me. I'll give you a hint.
Yeah, all right. Ask the audience.
They played in the old Norris division.
The Chuck Norris.
The team is now in the Atlantic division.
Oh, Steve Yzerman.
Steve Yzerman and... Same team.
Fedorov?
Gordie Howe.
Gordie Howe. Yeah, all right. Cool.
Okay, hold on.
Been swinging at it.
Yes. All right, well, and transitioning off that, since you fucking crushed that trivia.
Oh, yeah.
Top three all-time defenseman playoff scoring.
Top three all-time defenseman scoring.
In the playoffs.
Yes. Sergei Zubov.
Oh, my God. That is so incorrect.
Well, that sucks. And a couple of deep runs with Dallas and
New York. If you're going to go with Gonchar next,
I was not.
Lose that as well, because that is not going to be the case.
All the original six shit didn't have nearly enough rounds, so I'm probably going to count out Bobby.
I would certainly count out Bobby.
Yeah. Nick Lidstrom.
Nick Lidstrom, number one.
Yeah.
And the other two are Norris Trophy winners.
Gee, that, yeah. Drew Doughty. No, it hasn't had enough runs at it.
Not Erik Karlsson either, or Brent Burns. Chris Chelios.
Yeah.
A guy played till he was 107.
Yeah, a couple of cup finals with Chicago and Detroit.
Yeah.
Not correct.
Not correct.
Well,
but,
then.
But you are getting the right era, though, my friend.
Yeah. Chris Pronger.
Not Chris. Really? You're going to go sideways from
Chelios to Pronger.
Chelios to Pronger?
Anaheim, Edmonton, St. Louis, Detroit. Or not Detroit. Philly. He had several deep runs.
So, yeah. All right.
Scott Niedermeyer.
Not Scott Niedermeyer.
Fucking deep runs with New Jersey and Anaheim.
All right.
I don't fucking know, man.
Ray Bourque. Paul Coffey.
Yeah, okay. Paul Coffey, eh? Got Edmonton, a couple late Edmonton, ones and Detroit,
well,
Pittsburgh.
Edmonton and Pittsburgh. Honestly, man, the guy's played in a lot of, went to a lot of cup finals.
It's true, man. All right.
There you go. Matt, crushing it.
Yes. It crushing Matt.
How do you like it?
Yeah, I don't.
We open up a lot of these shows. I have a little trivia. Okay. This is where Rob looks like.
You don't know anything.
Yeah, Rob looks like a total tool.
I wanted to
Rob
touch.
Rob can do it on his own.
I wanted to touch a little bit before we get out of here on the Bryce Harper deal. 13 years, $330 million.
13,330. Right away, I'm disappointed.
On the streets of Philadelphia.
Yeah, right away, I'm disappointed if I'm Bryce Harper that I'm not surpassing Machado's 10-year 300.
Yeah, so he has surpassed his guaranteed amount. He has not surpassed his annual.
Yeah, the AAV.
Right, and so apparently the second number was more important to him, the guaranteed dollars versus the...
Okay.
Well, that's what you're going to say now.
For sure. And really, I am left with, when we're talking about obscene money, I'm left with Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, 32.
Signing for 260.
Over eight.
Yeah, and I'm like, and you know what? I am...
You know what's interesting about him is he looked at this debacle and said, I'm not waiting for free agency. If you guys want to talk, let's talk now, right? I'll re-sign.
Yeah.
Because these guys are getting burned down in UFA.
But did they?
Well, okay. Yeah, they both, $630 million between two guys.
You fuckers got taken to the woodshed.
But not, I don't think this is what either of them expected. I don't think Machado thought he was going to be a Padre to get his money.
Yeah.
And I know Harper did not want to be a Philly.
But to me, if you look at
and he's got no opt out
at Machado, yeah, that's the first thing I thought of when you go, you're a Padre. Oh man, I don't care if you got $300 million. The Padres have the top rated minor league system.
Yes, they have 10 of the top 100 prospects in baseball.
And if you look at now with their infield in terms of youth and stuff coming up, I'm trying to think of the former Expo. Tatis, maybe.
Yeah, Fernando Tatis's kid.
Is there, yeah. Honestly, they're infield with Machado now locked down. Mm-hmm. Now, do you want that guy to be your fucking leader moving forward? Probably not.
No.
Right? I'm not sure. You can pay Machado or Harper any of that money. Yeah, those are not guys.
Well, Harper is coming off his worst year yet defensively. They're hoping that's a blip on the radar. But I agree with you that this is a strange time, I guess, in one sense, for San Diego to be doing this. The counter argument being, get him now because he's probably not going to be available
when
your core comes along. Yeah. And there was a case to be made.
Which in baseball is really just 2 years.
Probably. There was a case to be made that the Blue Jays should be in on Bryce Harper. If it's just money and all he wants is to be the...
Hey, bitches. Save your money for 2020 when Mike Trout, who's probably the best player in baseball.
So Ken Rosenthal saying that the Angels have already considered offering him a 10-year, $400 million.
To me, Trout should be the highest paid player in baseball.
Yep.
I agree with
now
that.
Now he's going to show up on that doorstep later than everyone else in terms of his age. But, man, we're talking $40 million a year now for these guys. Look, first of all, the Blue Jays aren't going to be in on that.
Right.
But Harper sat around all winter. You could have got that done in preparation for a year or two from now when you hope you have Vladdy and you have Bichette and you have Clemens and you have Pearson and you have these guys that are supposed to be...
Oh, don't forget Biggio.
You're right. Who are supposed to become the core of this next window to contend. But nobody's doing that. You just sit there and, well, we'll wait.
Yeah. And again, they talked about as the winter stretched along, and they talked about collusion, and they talked about all these things. End of the day, both those guys may have taken longer to sign. They both got the money that they were looking for.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what the issue is.
Well, for Harper, he clearly didn't get the deal he wanted. Everyone, Arenado, and Machado both got opt-outs. Like, that's a, if you're not happy with how this is going, you can leave after however many years. He didn't get that. He needed to take a 13-year deal instead of 10 to be able to get up to where he wanted to be in terms of...
With no opt-out.
Right.
And honest to God, man, he's only going to be what?
That'll take him to 39, I think they said.
Really? Is he 26?
Yeah. I believe that's right. His 39 or his 40-year-old season.
It's a clown question, bro.
Well, and they started talking about, you know, kids who are entering, who, if you had a kid in the last year, he'll be in high school when this contract wraps up. Like, it's fucking long.
Yeah, well, good for you, Phillies.
Yeah.
I hope he continues with his 2018 numbers. Just for you.
I did dig his statement at the press conference because he wears 34. He showed up in Philly and said, yeah, I'm not going to wear that. Roy Halladay's got to be the last guy to wear that here. So he's going with number 3. So that's pretty cool. Number 3 sucks, though, as a number. Like, you could have been a little more creative.
Well, and really that, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed by it, to be honest with you, because
the ego on that fucking guy.
Yeah, his level of hubris is unbelievable.
I think there would have been enough talk leading up to this that he didn't want to go to Philly and that was never his first choice and they just kept hanging around and hanging around and he's a Scott Boras guy and you got to get your number, that you needed something coming in to do a little PR work, right, to help clean this up. And no, I'm happy to be here and I honor your traditions and your whatever, right? But so he wouldn't wear 34 was his number. That's the number Roy wore in Philly. He said he wouldn't do it.
Well, and is it even available?
They haven't retired it yet. I mean, this essentially retires it, you think.
I was just going to say.
13 years.
It'd be an incredible.
It'd be hilarious if some like utility infielder comes in midway through the year and goes, I'll take it. I don't care.
Yeah. It'd be an incredibly poor taste, right? The guy's just gone into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Posthumously.
Dead.
Yeah. And you're like, I'll take that guy's number. is there anything?
I think it's funnier to watch a guy like Bryce Harper pass it up just to have some shithead come in afterwards and go, I don't care about that. I'll take it.
Yeah. All right. Well, the whole thing is bizarre. And
as it took this long, we're into spring training before both of these guys got signed.
Right. But other than the Padres, in terms of the, you know, the Chicago White Sox, the teams that were out there and the Phillies have been clamoring for somebody since... Oh, what's his face in Baltimore? Oh. Refused to go anywhere. His name escapes me. The guy who got the beer thrown at him in the playoff game in Toronto.
Shin Soo Choo?
Nope. Sorry, the center fielder.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Jones? Davis?
Jones, thank you.
Adam Jones. Yeah.
Who refused to go to Philly. He's like, I'm not going to Philly.
Yeah.
Last year, the trade. He's like, forget it, man.
I'll stay here in Baltimore and lose.
Yeah, you're like, well, yeah, that's it. Right? He's like, forget it, man. Nobody wants to go
play
there.
Play here at the Harbor.
Yeah, so decent crab legs, and I go in for a lobster roll. That's just the way it is.
Anyways, all right. I think we've probably maxed this out. I just thought it was interesting that after all this time, these guys ended up in, I guess Philly is reasonable enough, but San Diego was strange. This was always supposed to be like New York and maybe Washington trying to bring them back. And
I don't know anybody who's played in San Diego since Tony Gwynn. Like, I really don't know. I can't think of a...
Drew Pomeranz.
Okay, look at that guy right there.
I got one.
Yeah, and that's one more than I have, right? So...
And my boy Solarte just signed with the Athletics, I believe. Not that that has anything to do with San Diego.
Oh,
but
I want to dance with Solarte.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole guy.
Okay. Well, good for him, man. He'll be somewhere else come the trade deadline.
Yeah, that's true. Why don't we wind this one down? We got more stuff coming for you later on this week in a day or two. There'll be an all-new Audio Whiplash for the
Hogan,
first time in a couple
I'm
of weeks.
I'm coming for you!
Don't say it. We're going to wrap this one up. We'll catch you all on the next episode of Tall Can Sports.
See ya!
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.